Bill Hendrick.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendrick Show. So we were showing people who are watching Phil TV, if you don't have a backstage pass, get a backstage pass, you can watch us on Phil TV in HD. And we were showing folks pictures from the internet of something. This is actually a good thing that happened. I'm sorry about the people that got injured, you know, but it further explains the Tunguska event, which was in 1908. And what happened was an asteroid, not a meteor, but an asteroid, which is a big ass meteor, exploded. It basically did what this one did. It was streaking out of the skies, and it was beginning to burn up as it was going through the Earth's atmosphere. It was pretty dense, and it reached a point, and I'm not a scientist, but I thought I heard a scientist explain, it reached a point where it was no longer stable, and just boom, man, I mean exploded. And the explosion of the Tunguska asteroid was so huge, and again, it took place above the Earth. It didn't take place, it didn't make impact with the Earth and then exploded. It took place above the Earth, and when it did explode, it was so intense that it flattened these trees over a 2,500 square kilometer area. 2,500 square kilometers, I don't know what that is. It's about maybe 1,700 miles, square miles.
Well, they said it was the size of London.
How big's London?
I don't know. London's about that size.
Yeah, about 1,700 square miles.
How big is that?
I don't know, bud. Why don't you go get a map, man, and look.
What's that? Is that London?
No, that's not London. That's the area that got hit by the asteroid. What makes you think that's London?
I don't know. Trees are all flat.
Yeah, that's London. See that whole area that's just wasted? Yeah, that's London. In any event, you can see these pictures. The trees are flattened, and then every now and again, some joker uploads a picture of what he put together, a mushroom cloud along with a bell with retro rockets coming out of it, and the claim that this is what was seen in the skies just after it happened. Here's another area, and the area around Tunguska is now... It is growing back. It's very interesting. They have pictures of 1908 and then 2008, and you can see where there's still damage there. The trees are still down, but growing back. It was a really sparsely populated area of the Earth. And as I was reading this story, the news story from the LA Times that was recalling the Tunguska thing, they said that there large meteors hit the Earth on a regular basis, not every day. I forget what they said. Every month?
Well, I thought they said every year, but a significantly sized meteors. And this one was 10 tons, the one that blew up yesterday.
Yeah, the one that blew up yesterday, 10 ton, and it was 15 meters, and I don't know.
Anyway, pretty good size. It was 55 feet across. So if you look, if you've ever seen like a big yacht, a big boat, maybe... and then it was about 10 tons. That's what hit yesterday over this city that we just saw. And then it just sort of evaporated and then exploded. This Tunguska thing, it was the same deal, only a much, much bigger rock and a much, much bigger explosion flattening forest. Now, there's no crater, I don't think. But we'll get on here General Galen Shaw, who can give us a little bit more information. And General Shaw, who is a retired Army general, is going to join us here and offer his own theories on this tonight on the Phil Hendrick Show as we do our special reporting on this.
We're not doing a special...
Okay.
I'm deciding we're doing a special, okay? General Shaw, how are you, sir?
Phil, I'm doing relatively well. I'm looking at the reports coming in now as they filter in from Russia. I was only now alerted to the events of... last night here in the United States at local time in Russia.
All right. Now, you have been interested in unidentified flying objects since when?
Well, Bill, like many people interested in the UFO, so-called UFO phenomenon, and I don't think they're unidentified at all. I think they're very, very much identified objects. I have been interested ever since my encounter with a so-called unidentified flying object. I call them IFOs, identified flying objects, because we do believe that we know what they are. We do believe we know where they're from. And we do believe that we have the means to communicate if we so choose. My encounter took place on my way back to Fort Benning, Georgia. I was driving by myself in an open Jeep. I had the top down on a fairly beautiful evening, driving through the southeast. And it was at that time that I saw two pinpricks of light, almost two small pinpricks of light, coming directly at me from, I would say, the south by southeast.
But south by south?
South by southeast.
Yeah. In any event, I saw these two pinpricks of light that then began to expand into the size of, I would say, a sun. Both of them were very large and very bright. They elevated for a few seconds, lowered for a few seconds, and then split apart, and almost in the blink of an eye disappeared. I continued on, and then they reappeared one more time and blinked green.
Well, what did General Shaw?
Who, yes, I'm in the middle of an explanation.
Just let him finish, okay?
They blinked green and then red. Now, when I told this to the authorities, I didn't report this to the police. I went directly to the CO at Fort Benning, and I also spoke with Army Intelligence. And because I wasn't about to go to a police department with this, no disrespect intended to our police, but this is something that is simply none of their business, to be honest with you about it.
Why do you say that?
Well, I don't think they have the wherewithal to investigate it and to understand it, to be honest with you. We're talking about small-town Southern police. I'm sure they're competent men, and I'm sure that they're courageous men, but being able to assess what a IFO can do, let alone a UFO, but an IFO, I think could lead to serious repercussions. So I went directly to Fort Benning. I talked to General Bone, and at that time...
Now, what was his name again?
General Bone, B-O-N-E. And Charles Bone at the time was in charge of Fort Benning security, as well as the base security, as well as base operations. And I said, I believe I've seen an IFO. I believe I know... that it is one vehicle, not two.
Now, you said you saw two lights that split apart and went in opposite directions.
That is correct. That is part of an optical illusion created by this alien intelligence that we feel we know a little bit about. It is an optical illusion to create the sense that we are encountering more than one craft. Now, it reappeared again. I just haven't finished my story.
Okay.
It reappeared again and flashed green and red. Now, when I told this to General Bone, he said that I had been stopped at a traffic light. I retraced my steps, and I realized that, yes, I had been. And it was at that time that I realized I was dealing with this Omega intelligence that had split apart and created the impression that it was more than one spaceship.
All right, so when you saw the red and the green...
That was a traffic light. It had nothing to do with the phenomenon.
Well, was this the alien trying to fool you?
It wasn't an alien trying to fool me necessarily, Ms. Gray. It could have been, but it was my mistake that I was at a traffic light.
So you didn't recognize the traffic light?
Not immediately. I'd been through a shock. I'd been through a great shock. I'd seen lights going up and down and backwards and forwards. They at once were pinpricks, then they became these glaring suns, balls of light, many times the intensity of our sun. I felt at one point that I would the skin would burn off of my skull. And so I got to Fort Benning and told them this.
And this general said to you that you probably saw a stoplight.
Well, but let's get off of that. What I saw before that, they couldn't explain.
All right. General Galen Shaw is joining us. We're talking about unidentified flying... Well, in this case, you call it an identified flying object. Why do you say that?
Well, I say that because we're fairly confident. We're about three-quarters of the way to about seven-tenths of the way, or eight-tenths of the way, to being pretty sure that we are dealing with an Omega-level intelligence, which we think is very, very close to our Earth.
Okay, and when you say we, who are you working with?
Well, I'm working with groups of individuals, former NASA personnel, former Army intelligence, former Navy intelligence, individuals known to me. And the exchange of information has been rapid fire over the last 24 to 48 hours, and I can assure you that it will increase even more heavily as evidence is collected there in Russia. It depends on whether the Russians will allow us to get our hands on pieces of this so-called meteor.
Do you think that this is not a meteor?
I at this particular time, I find it very hard to believe it's anything other than an initial attempt, a landing attempt that went horribly awry by the Omega.
All right. General Galen Shaw is with us.
Well, and don't worry, Phil. You know, I can tell you're skeptical. That pause, when you pause there, I can tell you're rolling your eyeballs.
No, General Shaw, he did not roll his eyes. He was sort of just taking it in.
Well, it sounded like an eyeball roll.
I'm not, sir, but there is a lot to have to take in. We'll be right back here with General Galen Shaw as we talk about UFOs, or IFOs, as he calls them, identified flying objects, the meteor that was seen over the skies and heard in Russia, and more of this discussion. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
They might be trying to contact me, and that I could speak for the people of Earth.
World-famous Bill Hendry Show.
And we're back here with General Galen Shaw, Margaret Gray, Robert Leonard, Bud Dickman. We'll have Jeff Dowder on with us in a few minutes as we talk about the meteor over, or whatever it was, over Russia. General Shaw, you're a former Army officer. You're retired. You believe that this very well, you don't even believe it's a meteor.
No, I do not, Bill. I've studied these events quite closely over a period of some 27 years, and I will no longer be led down the garden path by our government. Now, I am an American, and I love our government. I love our country very much, but our government keeps playing it fast and loose with these events, and there comes a time when you've just got to come straight out and say to people, this is an alien craft that has been directed into our atmosphere. Now, I believe what happened was that this was an attempted landing using a much more direct angle through the atmosphere than ever before. Now, the Omega are a civilization that has mastered, obviously, travel through large swaths of space, utilizing in some instances, of course, the wormholing and some black hole travel that we are familiar with. However, they have not yet mastered, as we have not, the ability to penetrate the very heavy atmosphere of certain planets and land in a more direct and much quicker fashion. And so what happened last night over Russia, I think, was an attempt to land their craft at a much more direct angle, and of course it burned and exploded, and God knows how many Omega were. Now, I know that what I'm saying sounds crazy.
Well, I mean, it just, I mean, you know.
It sounds, you've already got, you know this civilization.
Yes, we've been aware of it for quite, now I know you know, I know that you think that I'm crazy, I understand, it's all right.
I don't think you're crazy. I don't think that when it comes to UFOs, I don't think we're talking about crazy. I think we've got people that believe very firmly in one thing, there's people who believe firmly in something else.
Well, let me ask you, what do you believe that this was an alien craft?
No, I do not, no.
And why don't you?
Because I don't believe that there's any evidence of aliens living beyond our planet.
You don't believe there's any evidence? Well, could I invite you to a meeting of the IFO Society, and you'll hear some very amazing claims, Phil, of people that have been abducted, people that have been probed, people that have had their DNA extracted, people that have had alien seed implanted in them, horrifying tales, frightening tales, women, Ms. Gray, that have had alien seed implanted against their will, not even asked.
Well, how are you going? Who's going to ask you, would you carry an alien baby?
Well, these people, the Omega, are capable of mind melding, not mind meld, I mean, that's a Star Trek term. But they are capable of a mental, I don't know what you call it, hooking up or joining the mental, the whole brain, fusing the brain, something like that. So they could ask, but they also are given to acts that you would find, anyone would find offensive. Their probing has involved other parts of the body, utilizing different kinds.
Okay, I don't want to keep going on and on because this is getting crazy.
Well, no, it is not crazy when a woman has been taken against her will aboard an alien craft and is now being subjected to a sexual act that she would not give to her husband on his best day. I mean, it would take
All right, General Shaw, I think we understand.
Well, but not even my own wife.
I understand that.
Well, you see, maybe you ought to get abducted, and then they'll let you do it.
No, what do you mean, maybe I ought to get abducted, you... I'm talking about what the alien gets to do, not me.
All right, I don't want to talk about this anymore.
I understand.
We're talking to General Galen Shaw, and we have just a couple of more minutes here, then we got Jeff Dowder coming on.
Well, you're not going to talk to him, are you? Because Jeff Dowder has been at our IFO meetings and has made an absolute ass of himself. He has made an absolute ass of himself with his claims that powering these alien craft. It's something as simple as landing it on a mountaintop and this jackrabbit theory of his.
All right, I don't want to talk about Jeff Dowder right now. He's going to be with us. I'm simply talking to you about what you think is the reality of this thing, an alien craft. There's no chance that this is a meteor.
I don't think so. Not given the thousands of sightings that we've had and the probing that is being done, what they want, it's very clear what they want. It's very clear what they're after, and they're so eager to get it that they tried to land last night at a very direct angle, and they incinerated themselves alive. And God knows how many of the Omega were killed, but they are so hot for Earth women, and that's what I think is at the very heart of this, Phil, and young Earth boy, that...
You think at the very heart of this is a sexual attraction that these aliens have?
For Earth women, that is exactly correct.
General Shaw, this is Margaret Gray. Seriously, have you ever sat down with a psychiatrist?
No, I'm not going to countenance that. That is a slander that I will not countenance.
Why do you consider this to be a normal thought process?
This is not a normal occurrence, I'll give you that. But it is nonetheless a reality. A reality, Ms. Gray. And unless we prepare ourselves for the fact that the Omega... it desires the Earth woman and desires Earth boy, we are never going to really be able to penetrate the minds of the Omega and keep them from incinerating themselves and God knows how many of our own people in this cataclysm that awaits us.
Well, okay, but I mean, again, there's no proof of any of this stuff.
You don't have any proof that was a meteor.
I bet you they will soon have it, sir, when they find shards of this thing laying in these. I think they found a crater.
They found a crater with metallic material. Okay. Now, what do you build a spaceship with? Metallic material. Bingo. Hello.
All right. Are they going to find the DNA of aliens?
What DNA? You don't even know if aliens have the same genetic matter that we have. No, what I'm telling you is simply this. In a race, in a hot and bothered race to get to Earth fast, and get the cream of the crop of Earth woman and boy, the alien burned himself alive last night. And I will tell you this, it gave us some breathing room.
General Shaw, thank you very much, sir.
And you can say anything you want behind my back. It doesn't matter at all to me. I don't care.
I understand it, sir. I thank you, and I hope you'll be with us again.
If you care to have me back, I'd be happy to.
General Galen Shaw, thank you.
Well, to me, it's obvious to me that the man is not on this earth speaking of aliens.
Yeah, when he talked about how they want Earth Boy.
Well, right there was that was the giveaway for me that he's flipped. You know, and the fact that they burned their spaceship up because they were in a real hurry to get down to Earth and get Earth Woman and Earth Boy.
Yeah, and also I think if the Omega does exist, it's a slander on Omega that they're perverts.
I don't think anybody gives a crap, man. If the Omega exists and this isn't true about them, I could care less whether they're offended. We got a guy here, a former Army general, a decorated general, who's talking all kinds of garbage. Coming up next is Jeff Dowder here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk about the meteor over Russia.
Special extended coverage of it on a Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back in a minute.
No, it's not extended coverage.
Well, that's what you said.
Did I leave a ballpoint pen in there? I left a ballpoint pen.
You've been on the phone, sir.
Oh, that is correct. All right.
Phil Hendry.
I mean, you could go on and on and on and on and on with some of this stuff that we're reading here. And what's happening today, you know, is everybody's talking about this Tunguska thing, this event in Russia, which was this asteroid that hit over an area of Siberia back in 1908 that flattened about 2,150 square miles of trees, 80 million trees it flattened. And when I say flattened, in other words, folks, it didn't burn them up. It didn't, there was no crater. It exploded high enough above the earth that the shockwave just flattened these trees. And it's a weird shape. 2,108, they say it's about 831 square miles, 52 kilometers across in diameter. Very weird. But, and I was telling the guys, this thing was in such a remote area that it really didn't, no scientific exploration of this and no real scientific inquiry was made for 10 years. 10 whole years, because the word of this thing sort of leaked out in dribs and drabs. Now, I say that, but there were newspapers, and for instance, there's a newspaper called Siberian Life Newspaper on July 27, 1908. When the meteorite fell, strong tremors in the ground were observed near the village of Konsk. Two strong explosions were heard as if from large caliber artillery. So maybe they didn't take much notice of it, didn't think it was as big or as bad as it was until finally, like 10 years later, they got scientists in there and they found all these flattened trees. Well, the exact same thing, they think, has happened again.
Why is it Russia? Is the aliens against them?
Oh, God.
What?
Is the aliens against them? No, man, it's Russia, because Russia's got, as you heard in that little report we did, most of these events take place unrecorded, because most of the earth is either covered with water or uninhabited stretches of land. Most of the earth, in other words, is this wide open space where there are no human eyes or human ears to see or hear. So there's stuff going on out there. Even with all the people we have on this planet, and we always talk about overcrowding, the fact of the matter remains, most of this planet is completely devoid of human life. It's either water, or there's large stretches of Russia like this, or northern Canada, or even parts of this country, the United States. You can travel for miles, miles and miles, and not see another human being. And these things take place, we don't know. Just like when
like a space station burned up, and it falls down to Earth. Nobody even knew about it.
Well, they know about it, but they're not going to do nothing about it.
What about that time they had the target?
Oh, the Taco Bell target. Do you remember that?
The Taco Bell target?
Yeah. If it hit the target, you got a year's supply of a burrito.
A year's supply of burrito, huh? Sounds good. Anybody win?
No, I don't think so.
So who was going to win? I guess they were going to give it to everybody?
Yeah, they're going to give it to everybody. If the space station hit a target in the ocean, they're going to give everybody burrito for, like, you know.
Yeah, you'd get it would be a steady supply of a burrito.
Well, too bad, man. Taco Bell, we could have all gotten well on burritos. That's what I need. More of that. God, do I love burritos, too.
I heard that.
Man, I love them. And I would just, I'm going to give a plug right now to my favorite place. If you're ever in the Ventura, California area, Evita's, man.
Oh, God. Evita's is, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. But I don't eat it because I want to keep my girlish figure. I will kick
out.
Okay, so Evita's is, oh, God, what a great burrito, man. All right, other news to get to here tonight, because I don't want to keep going over this stuff over and over and over again. I mean, it was a meteor. It exploded. It was loud. There were windows that busted. That's it. Life goes on. The end of the world, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Jeff Dowder coming up in a few minutes, though, to talk with us. Is Dowder here or not?
Got Jeff Dowder on the phone here.
All right, well, let's get Jeff Dowder up here and get this situation under control. This is Jeff Dowder from Temple City, California. Dr. Dowder. Actually, Professor Dowder is a part-time professor of mechanical physics at Caltech. And then I want to move on to some other news. But, Jeff, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good.
And when did you first hear about this?
Phil, I heard about it late last night, about 9:45. I was in one of the dorms and talking to a couple of students that were questioning an assignment that I had given them. Which had to do with tracking celestial bodies by way of triangulation, or not triangulation, but tracking celestial bodies utilizing astronomical compass. And it's very kind of complex and everything. But so we're talking about it, and I'm going to them, you know, I'm sorry to you, but I just said, you know, you guys are screwing the, you know, the dog, and you got, if you want a better grade and you don't want to get pitched, pitched, and you're going to have to do better. And then they gave me an argument, and it went back and forth. And then I talked to this one guy's parents.
Okay, Jeff, can we get to why we have you on, though? You were in the dorm room when you heard about this?
Yeah, we was in the dorm room, and one of the TVs was on to a news channel, and they came on, and they said, yeah, there's been an explosion, and it was over Russia, and it was they think it's a meteor. And so immediately, you know, my feeling was that, I didn't go, all the way to where General Shaw goes, and he and I have had our differences of opinion over the many years. I mean, he believes the Omega have somehow capitalized on some kind of a new drive where they can land direct. You see, they burned up. He believes that their interest in Earth Boy is overwhelming.
What do you mean, Earth Boy? What is that about, anyway?
Well, I mean, it is a. I suppose you could say it's not unlike any other civilization with its curiosity as to culture and finding a delicacy.
Okay, so it's some sort of perversion.
Well, I'm loath to criticize another man's, as the joke goes, I'm loath to criticize another man's hobbies. I mean, but
that's not in very good taste. I want to ask something, Dr. Dowder.
It's Professor Dowder.
I'm sorry, Professor Dowder, that is not in good taste. My question is this. Forget it.
Yeah.
You don't have a question?
No, I don't. I'm going to the toilet.
But she's going to the toilet. Okay, I mean...
Never mind. So, I guess she probably wanted to follow up on this whole Earth Boy thing, but I'd like to move past that.
Well, you can move past it if you want to, but it's one of the overriding reasons that the Omega will continue to, bedevil our efforts. So,
so you believe in this civilization called the Omega?
No, I don't believe in them so much as I know of them, but I don't really believe in them the way that General Shaw believes in the Omega. I simply am aware of an existence. But I don't put any hope in them figuring anything out. General Shaw thinks they got the whole thing figured out. And
what does that mean? He thinks they've got the whole thing figured out.
But when you say that, do I believe in them?
Well, I didn't mean do you believe in them as a solution to some. Do you believe they exist?
Well, it's hard not to believe they exist when certain events take place. Like, as you know, Phil, I'm a member of a band called Dark Horse. We play with Mr. Poos in Hermosa Beach, and we have an acetate out, and we're doing a demo. And so I'm a drummer as well as a professor of mechanical physics. And yet, on a night like, let's say when the supermoon back in May, do you remember the supermoon back in May, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, I do. There was that large moon.
Right. On that night, when I was this close to a significant hookup with this girl who has played bass in our band for a while, Tammy Eller, and now has moved on to another group called the Machine Heads. And I said, well, you know, and she was like this close. And then the supermoon, and she bombs out of there with some dude from Carpinteria. What is that about? So, in other words...
What are you talking about, man? Could you...
Talking about your sexual habits was affected.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying that the Omega exists. Now, as far as I can tell, you know, when I was on your show recently talking about the likelihood that jackrabbits that are sailing at a pretty fast pace through the high weeds are setting off forest fires, and I got laughed at and everyone laughed and everything. But I can assure you that there's a very high likelihood that utilizing that kind of very raw, very natural and raw energy that you could power at least, you know, for, like a limited time, you know, you could power up a ship, basic necessities, you know, kitchen, toilet, if they use a toilet, but I don't know.
Okay, Doc, or Professor, excuse me.
Yeah, it's Professor. I mean, I've never really had high aspirations for that, but...
Okay, but that's fantastic. Thank you very much for that, for what you said.
Okay, any other time, you know, I'm happy to come on, but, yeah.
All right, Dr. Professor, excuse me, Jeff Dowder from Caltech.
And the point of that was what?
I don't know, man. You know what the point of it was? It's just to get that whole UFO thing.
Well, when he's talking about a jackrabbit, I remember that one.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. I'm so sick of this. All right, we're going to get into the whole story of that jackrabbit starting forest fires thing. It'll never leave me. We're going to get back into Jose Reyes of the Marlins, who was told by the owner of the team to buy a house in Miami days before he was traded. You loving that? We'll be right back with that story and others in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and online at philhendryshow.com. New Bobby Dooley podcast is out today, and that's available on iTunes. It's the Bobby Dooley podcast, and her first interview with the great actress Patricia Arquette, star of The Medium, star of the TV show Medium. Did you ever see that, Margaret?
I did. It's just a wonderful show, and very, very popular. And Patricia was the star, and I thought it was a terrific show. I don't know why it's not on the air, but I can assure you it isn't because people didn't like it. I think that they might have been overwhelmed by her talent at the network level, at the television level, because Patricia Arquette is a classically trained, brilliant actress. And when you put her into a television series, it overwhelms the small minds in television, the very small itsy-bitsy, teeny-weeny minds.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I just...
What are you doing, bud?
Well, she said itsy-bitsy.
So she said itsy-bitsy. What?
You thinking about yellow polka dot bikini is what you were doing.
Well, never mind, man, okay? All right, thank you, Margaret, for that. Anyway, Patty Arquette is the special guest on the Bobby Dooley podcast that has debuted today. And more to come, more great interviews there. Also, our regular daily podcast. We're up to, like, episode 127, which will be out on Monday. We've sort of changed up the schedule on that. We did have it was weird. It was, like, Tuesday through Saturday morning. And I think somebody said to me, Phil, in order to accommodate sponsors, you're going to want to do Monday through Friday. So episode 126 is out right now, and episode 127 on Monday. Then we have, I think I mentioned, further rehearsals for our one-man show.
You're really putting a lot into this. You're banking a lot on this one-man show, aren't you?
Yeah, I am, you know.
Boy, do or die. Do or die.
All or nothing at all, huh, man? Well, that's kind of the way it feels, you know. This is it. This is the big move, the big push, baby.
Well, Phil, I don't think it's ever over till it's over.
Yeah, not till the fat one sings.
Not the fat one, the fat lady.
All right, it's not over till the fat lady sings. You're right. I mean, there's nothing over, but I've often felt that this was the logical, if you will, trajectory for the Phil Hendry brand. I'm just using terms that are used now, folks. I don't mean this in any you know, egocentric or megalomaniacal fashion. I'm saying the Phil Hendry brand, I think the trajectory for the Phil Hendry brand. Has been to do kind of a live theatrical thing. So there you go.
Yeah, like last night we seen that Howard Stern's got a movie.
I know he's got a movie. I ain't got a movie, okay? This is going to be my thing, man. I'm on stage, see? Howard had a movie. I got a stage thing, okay? So just forget about that, will you?
Yeah, well, Howard had a movie.
How many times you guys going to bring up that Howard had a movie? I know he had a movie.
Well, Phil, don't get jealous.
I'm not jealous. I'm not jealous at all. I think Howard is a great guy. I'm glad he had a movie. Nobody deserves a success more. All those guys, I admire them all. I'm doing this. By the way, we're going to be on Steve Dahl's radio show by the... When are we on the Steve Dahl show?
I got to check your calendar, Mr. Hendry.
Oh, well, thank you. But we will be doing the Steve Dahl show within the next few weeks. Very, very, very excited about that. Another legendary broadcaster, see? So these are the avenues that we travel. This is the company that we keep. I'm not... what are you talking about? I'm not upset.
Well, I just think that, you know, Steve Dahl produced television movies and movies. Howard Stern has a movie.
And so Phil Hendry's going to be on stage. I got no ego about these things. I am a humble man. I have learned humility down through the years, okay?
Great. Then would you mind parking my car?
Get out of here. All right. Get a load of this. You're going to love this. I think I'm going to start off the hour with the Jose What's-His-Ass story, because this thing's beautiful. This is so unbelievable that you got to laugh. But it's a true story, folks. A man slapped a crying baby on a flight, calling it the N-word. A guy on a Delta Airlines flight, on an Atlanta-bound flight, excuse me, but you know, it doesn't mean anything, nothing against Atlanta. The baby was slapped by some guy from Idaho, and that's nothing against Idaho either. This moron, this 60-year-old idiot, slapped a crying baby on an Atlanta-bound flight while yelling a racist epithet at the infant boy, and for his effort got tossed into handcuffs and charged with assault. He's lucky that that's all he got. I'm telling you right now. You know, the only adult that was with this infant was the child's mother. The incident took place on a Delta Air flight from Minneapolis on February the 8th. The boy was crying as the flight was nearing its landing when Joe Ricky Hundley of Idaho grew enraged at its crying. In other words, Joe, you're afraid of flying. You're scared to death. You're peeing your pants as the plane is, you know, going down through the turbulence. And when the baby started crying, you couldn't control yourself because you're just that kind of a guy, and you called it the N-word. That was what Joe's problem was.
Well, Phil, how do you know what... I mean, you're doing all of this analysis.
What, are you kidding me? I'm not saying the guy's not a racist. I'm saying that things, you know, any kind of thing that upsets people peels off the veneer of civilization very quickly. And if the guy's afraid of flying, which he is, I can tell. I've been around guys like this. They get real nervous and real angry when the plane starts hitting the turbulence and they get freaked out. The boy's mother, 33-year-old Jessica Bennett of Minneapolis, said Hundley was sitting next to her and then slapped the crying boy in the face, giving him a scratch under his right eye. As he slapped the crying baby, Hundley told Bennett to, quote, shut that N-word baby up.
What are you laughing at, man?
I didn't mean to laugh.
What is so funny?
Nothing's funny.
You're just a racist, bud. That's what you are.
What was funny, bud?
It's just the guts on a guy.
Well, I'll give you that.
Yeah, guts, man. I'll tell you what, find his guts laying outside of him. He'll find his guts laying outside of his stomach.
Yeah, and you get violent about it.
Of course, you know what? That kind of stuff gets people violent, bud. That stuff gets people violent. That's what you're kind of stupid about. You use that word enough times, people get violent. Several passengers then came to the mother's aid. The 60-year-old man was then arrested for slapping the baby and charged with simple assault. A 60-year-old Idaho man has been charged with simple assault for allegedly slapping an infant aboard an Atlanta flight. His lawyer urged people not to rush to judgment. Get a load of that. We think that it is important to let the case develop, and we'll see how it all comes out, Hundley's attorney, Marcia Schein, said on Friday.
Oh, a Jew.
Will you ease up with that?
Well, I just think it's interesting.
The guy probably said, you know, man, I got arrested for calling it. I better get myself a Jew lawyer, because I'm...
Well, you don't know that that's the case, Phil.
Yeah, I do. Hundley's child is adopted and they were on their way to Atlanta for a funeral, the Daily Mail reported. After the man slapped the crying baby, police also found that he was intoxicated and carrying a concealed weapon.
What?
And his attempt to quiet the baby didn't quite work either. The police report noted that the baby cried louder after being slapped. Well, I will give that attorney one thing. We don't know the whole story, do we? That's nuts.
Well, what was the concealed weapon?
It doesn't say. Good reporting, by the way, folks. I hate it when you guys, if you're going to report a story, what was the concealed weapon? I doubt if it was a gun. Maybe it was a knife. His name, and I mean this is a real dumbass rube name, Joe Ricky Huntley. He's from Idaho. And, you know, Idaho in recent years has gotten a really bad reputation because the incidence of these racist jackballs that move up there into their, you know, white man fortress. And the people up there are like, what the hell? What did we do to deserve your ass? And I think Aryan Nations, I don't know who the hell these guys are, but here comes Joe Ricky Huntley, man, right out of the grand white fortress of Idaho. And he slaps a little baby. That's a beautiful thing. All right, we'll be right back with our final hour here on a Saturday morning. Saturday is just minutes away here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Gotta love that.
Yeah, but still working.
I don't care. It's Saturday.
Woo!
Yeah!
Phil Henry.